is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. No, that is not Mike's voice you are hearing introducing. This is Jason, and I'm pleased to be joined by Justin Matcham from the Cavaliers Central podcast tonight. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you as always for having me on. Wish we had something better to talk about than Team USA basketball right now.
So, just to give you a quick rundown, so Mike's headed out west for the next 2 weeks, so I'm going to be doing some random pop-up NBA podcast / Team USA podcasts. Justin has very nicely donated his time, and he's going to jump on with us to kind of talk about Team USA. I think when he originally signed up to do this, we were hoping that it was going to be a little more positive on the first episode. But obviously that didn't happen today, so we're going to get into that. And then, every subsequent game, hopefully until hopefully until a long time from now, we'll be able to podcast and talk about Team USA and how they're growing throughout. But, after their performance today, I don't know how many podcasts we're going to do, Justin, but we can talk about that and talk about where we're going. So first off, let's talk. I had a complaint before the game even started, Justin. Can you guess what my complaint was?
Your complaint before the game started.
The game started.
Did it have something to do with the starting lineup?
No, it had something to do with the fact that I had to pay $4.99 to get
Peacock to watch the game.
That's a bunch of garbage.
Well, okay, so I started off, so I actually, because the game started at 8 a.m. in our time zone, so at 8 a.m., I'm looking around trying to find streams online to see if I can find this thing anywhere, and I can't find it anywhere. So I'm thinking, shoot, am I really going to have to spend this $5 to get Peacock, a subscription in which I have already canceled, by the way, to get this game to watch it? So I ended up doing it. It was like 8:10. All the streaming websites that I would normally check didn't carry the game. I just said, screw it. I already missed like 3 minutes of the game. I'm just going to get Peacock and watch it. And then, like, 5 minutes later, I checked the streaming site again, and they had it up. So,
oh, man. Bummer.
I spent the $5 already, but, I guess I have it.
I guess I have an excuse to watch that terrible Saved by the Bell reboot now. Anyways, so
there you go.
So I had that was my complaint before. So I woke up expecting the game to be on, like you probably. I thought it was gonna be on
NBC.
NBC. I even thought it was gonna be on like NBCSN or whatever. Nope, Peacock. Now someone told me that if you had if you logged into something using your account, you might be able to get it. But I couldn't find it, and I was just like, forget this. I'm over it. I'll bite the bullet. I'll pay the $5 and so I can watch it because I wanted to watch it. And then I watched a good percentage of it. I, of course, was wrangling my three children while I was watching it. So I was like peering over, looking at it and things like that. But what I saw was a disorganized mess. And the text that I sent you and the text that I sent Mike was, how can the guy who got off the plane 5 hours before the game started be the most energetic and be the most engaged player on the game? Jrue Holiday was by far the Team USA's best player. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, he was easily their best player and really the only chance they had to win down the stretch. But yeah, for him to like land late last night and then play 28 minutes tonight and, you know, didn't shoot the ball great himself. He was only 38% from the field, but did kind of spark that run as of late and gave him a chance. I believe he ended up with, 18 points?
18 points. He had the most. He had the most for Team USA, so...
Yeah, did what he did, you know, on the perimeter on defense as well. Like, just, you could tell he still really, really wants to win these games. And it is good to see him play at that level all the time because we know well that he is one of the few who does on this team.
Yeah, because everything else was a disaster. It was just a disaster. I will say, I thought Draymond played well in the first half. I thought he definitely didn't look terrible. I thought Bam played pretty well. Durant, inexcusable. Completely inexcusable to be in foul trouble all the time. The whole game. I mean, he only played 9 minutes, essentially, until where he got... He had 4 fouls in 9 minutes. I don't know how many minutes did he end up playing.
He played 20 total, 21.
Yeah, they don't have it. They don't have it, like... Mark, so I thought he had 9 minutes before. Maybe it was 9 minutes in the first half he played and had 3 fouls in those 9 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, like, they were terrible fouls. Like, and I will say this. These guys have to realize that they are not playing with NBA officials here. Those referees don't give a rat's behind if they're going to sit here and whine and complain. They're not, because they're never going to see them again. I really think they need to realize that. And I saw someone on Twitter write, oh, the NBA players are going to give NBA officials a hug the next time they see them.
I saw that too. Yeah.
So, I don't know, your take on, I know I just kind of threw a few things out there, but your take on any of that stuff?
No, it was disappointing with Kevin, obviously, Durant. I thought, you know, played fine in his, you know, in his first few minutes, like didn't really do that much, but I thought he was okay. Outside of the foul trouble, but having to miss that much time and, you know, on a team like this, you would think that they would have plenty of other offensive options to go to, and that really just wasn't the case. But came back in after, you know, going through the foul trouble and played most of that, not all of the second half, but a fair amount, and just did not look good down that stretch. Obviously, it kind of got capped off by, and it wasn't only him, but missing the wide open three from the top of the key in a really crucial possession. By the way, also... shout out to Zach LaVine and Jrue Holiday for also missing wide open threes in a crucial possession, in the same possession actually. But overall,
yeah, I'm not going to kill Jrue because he literally
because he played hard and he did things, and they wouldn't have even been in that position without Jrue. You can't kill him. I'm just saying it was just as frustrating when he missed
that corner three. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I will say this: I think like the big thing that I want to say is I didn't see the fight in any of their eyes today except for Holiday and
I thought Keldon Johnson played hard. I always think Keldon Johnson plays
Keldon Johnson played hard, but I don't know, when I watched him play, like, he didn't do it. Did he have it, like, he, I know he had an assist and a rebound, but
he didn't score.
Did he make any kind of impact other than those things? Like, I don't feel like he did.
For Keldon, it was the energy, I guess you can say, you know, in making an attempt to have that rub off on other people, even if it didn't work. You know, I understand them going to Keldon a little bit just because he is a guy who's going to come here, and he obviously was the last person to kind of make the roster along with McGee, so he wants to prove that he belongs there. So I understand him wanting to play Harden. I think he did. At the same time, he is, outside of, again, JaVale, the least talented player probably on this roster. And
what's the reason Jeremy Grant didn't play?
I was just going to get to that. That really confused me. And the thing that they were doing is obviously on defense, they were switching basically everything the entire game.
Which is a mistake.
With a team that really hasn't played at all. Played together at all. You could tell that there were some miscues there. And on Team France's side, too, they were playing two bigs a lot of the game. Whether it was Rudy Gobert, Mustafa Fall, a lot of Poirier minutes in there as well, and playing two of those guys together at the same time, and we're switching. And I understand that, both, Draymond Green and Bam Adebayo are switchable bigs, and, they can switch onto the guards just fine. But then you're getting into a situation where, you have a guard on one of those bigs, and especially in the case of, Mustafa Fall was not afraid to put somebody in the basket. Neither are any of those guys, really. So you're getting an opportunity to basically post up USA's guards. And from that perspective, I thought it was really, really weird when they went to Keldon Johnson at four in those two big lineups when they had Jeremy Grant on the bench. I don't think it would be for any sort of disciplinary reasons. And obviously, it seems like there's always, kind of one guy who doesn't play. And I can understand wanting to play Keldon again just for energy, but I did not understand why Jeremy did not see any minutes. And again, they could have used that bigger forward in some of those matchups at the time.
So that was my question. Like, listen, you have him on the team. Use him. Use a bigger forward. I mean, Chris Middleton was basically unplayable today when he was out there.
No, he was tired.
He was tired. Devin Booker, he looked like he was
tired.
Not was tired. He looked like he was out of it completely. Like, not even there. So those two should have. I mean, and Booker played a lot of minutes. I feel like he didn't play as many as Drew, but he played a lot of minutes. And like, the thing is this. Like, I was thinking when I was looking at the roster and everything. I truly think that instead of, I know Johnson probably got picked because he's Pop's player. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Garland would have been a good pick. Now, I'm not saying Garland makes the U.S. win today, but they could have at least had a ball handler on the floor that was going to take care of the ball that we could trust. Because even Drew Holiday, I know you watched the same finals that I watched. Drew Holiday and ball handling seemed to look like a foreign concept in those games, in some of those finals games. So at least Garland would have at least had another ball handler on the floor today. Now, like I said, I don't want to say Darius Garland was going to make Team USA win this game, but I don't know. I know Johnson's hustler and he plays Pop's thing, and this goes to the other problem that we've been hearing is that the players aren't happy with Pop's offense and what they're running, the San Antonio offense, and that's a rumor, that's a report. Who knows if it's actually being said or if someone's just throwing it out there, if KD's burner's just tweeting it or whatever. But like, I know that's why they took Johnson, because he understands it. But this offense isn't going to work when you have a bunch of stars on it. I'm sorry. You need to have them doing what they do best. And none of these players do what Pop does. And I'm not saying that Pop's a bad coach. I don't want to be, because he's arguably one of the best coaches ever to coach basketball. Okay, but I think they need to.
Doesn't make him perfect.
It doesn't make him perfect, and I think they need to re-look into it. Now, I don't know, can you implement a new offense in the middle of Olympics? I don't know, but obviously when you've lost 3 out of 4 games so far, that's not a good sign, in my opinion.
No, it's not a good sign. And yeah, I think you asked the question, can you instill a new offense right now? How much of an offense do you really need to run? Like, obviously you need to have some basic sets, but these guys are smart enough basketball players. Like, you don't need to have, San Antonio offense. You can just kind of let these guys freestyle. They're all good enough. Looking at, who's on this team, Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, I mean, even Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, like, all of these guys are, guys who are smart basketball players who can go out and get their own shots when they need to. You don't need to run a set offense all the time. You kind of just need to let them play to their strengths. At least that's the way that I think it should be.
Yep.
Again, I don't think when you have a team this good, a need for, I don't think you have as big of a need for a structured offense. So I can kind of understand from that aspect where some of these players are getting frustration. And kind of the Garland point, I guess you can say that, you know, having another reliable ball handler would be good. I did think that Kelton Johnson was the right pick at the time. We've only seen him play in one game in the actual Olympics. I'm still going to say that he was a good pick. Again, just another forward who can, you know, fit into your switchiness, which again, Garland, I don't think would as well. Plays really, really hard. Not saying that Garland wouldn't have, but I don't think that the thought coming in was that Damian Lillard was going to be getting four turnovers and just looking like he was asleep half the time. You know, between him, Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, like I think Zach LaVine, I think the thought was they would have enough reliable ball handlers already, even if that's proving to not be the case.
Yep. Well, listen, maybe that's just me being selfish, wanting Darius to get the experience.
Oh, me too. Absolutely. Yeah, so, I'm totally there with you on that.
Yep. I mean, I don't want to get into the, I don't want to digress too much here, but I think Darius Garland's going to be on our team come September, October.
Let's
the
hope.
Other guy I don't know about.
Let's hope as well.
I just think it would have been really good for him. Anything else on USA before we have to give our due to France. Do you have anything else you want to say about Team USA before we'll look ahead to Iran, but like Team USA in this game.
I think again, relying really, really heavily on three pointers. Passed up a lot of good looks at the rim, I thought, especially, again, key moments, just to pass the black out to the three-point line, passing up three-pointers even at times when they had good looks.
In that sequence you were talking about,
yeah,
they could have had a layup to tie the game.
Is laying on the floor. You're playing 4-on-5. Drew Holiday has the ball in the corner, and that's the guy who is supposed to be guarding you. You have a chance to drive into the rim and draw a foul down two. And again, like you had the open three, but you have all these opportunities to get to the rim and you're just not taking them.
Yep.
And again, you have a lot of great shooters on this team, but when you're not hitting like this team wasn't, it's not enough. So between, you know, the missed threes, the unwillingness to go away from those threes, Bam missing two key free throws in this game. Obviously, again, that last possession, Bam getting lost on the exact same out of bounds set twice. You know, in the middle of that kind of Team USA run, I think, who was it the first time? Was it Nick Batum the first time and then Evan Fournier the second, to where Bam lost his guy both times and they were open in the corner and got an easy shot?
Yep.
Just a lot of frustrating things, and that's why when I say this is just such a messy game. You know, Damian Lillard having an open three-pointer, deciding to pass instead and just throwing the ball away. You know, not saying it's entirely his fault, but just slipping and falling on another key possession late. And again, I'm not trying to say that Damian Lillard didn't play hard, because he did dive on the floor and went for a ball, and, you know, that was a really important play as well. But just too many instances of too little focus in games that matter.
Yep, I completely agree. And I'm a big Damian Lillard fan. I had picked him to win the MVP this season before the season started, so...
Wow.
Oh, well.
And I will say, on just one more note, not having Gobert in the paint might encourage them to attack, you know, the rim a little bit more moving forward. We'll just have to see on that. Maybe that was part of the reason they were so hesitant. I know we're going to get into Iran's roster here in a second, but
yep.
I think there is at least some optimism from that standpoint that things will get better.
Yeah. So, France, really quickly, I have to say, like, I didn't realize how many French people were in the NBA, because they half their roster is basically NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they four of their five starters, right? Because DiColo's not in the NBA, right?
I've never he used to be. He was. Okay. He played a few seasons with the Raptors and Spurs.
Okay.
The Raptors actually still have his rights. They have been extending a qualifying offer to him like the past 5 years. So he is still technically... His rights are basically owned by the Raptors if he ever were to come back to the NBA.
All right. Well, so basically, so that means that their starters are all players that have been in the NBA.
Yes.
And then they had Cabarro. They had Nick Freddie. He didn't even get to play. What a poor guy. Like, what's going on with that? I was surprised.
Who?
Like,
oh, you're talking about Frank?
Yeah, Frank, not Freddie. Frank. Nick.
Frank Ntilikina. Yeah, I was confused by that as well.
Like, why didn't he play? Now,
I
had heard that maybe he had... the announcers... Now, by the way, Vince Carter is okay, but whoever the other guy was... Do you know who the other guy was?
I recognize the voice, but I don't know his name.
Well, let me just tell you, NBC, you need to find some better announcers. Vince Carter was okay. The other guy was not good.
I thought he was okay. Like, it wasn't terrible.
I know, but I guess we have to be fair because these guys aren't guys who are normally calling NBA games. And I'm trying to hold them to the same standard of some of the other announcers.
Was it a less enjoyable listen than Chris Webber?
Oh, no. It was not. But it was probably, you know, Chris Webber, Reggie Miller, those guys are terrible. But, like, Marv Albert was good. I like Kevin Harlan a lot. Like
Mike Breen.
I like Breen. Van Gundy is whiny, but I can deal with him.
Van Gundy and Jackson are a good duo, I think.
They're a good duo because they're just yin and a yang situation on there. So, anyways, so I don't know. I did not enjoy their calling, but France itself, we have to give them credit. Obviously, Fournier
was the best player in that game.
Best player in the game. Boston fans are probably screaming at the top of their lungs. What is this nonsense? And I know Bill Simmons tweeted about it today.
Of course he did.
Anyways, but, you know, props to them. If you would have told me that Fournier was going to score 28 points, I would have told you that I'd eat a hat. Eat a hat if he did that.
I mean, after we saw Gabe Vincent do it, I can't say I was surprised. After we saw Patty Mills do it, I mean, who's going to be the next... I'm not going to say irrelevant, but, like, not as good, not as talented guard. It's going to be... There's a couple Mohammeds on this team.
I was going to say that... It's one of the
I'm
going to
say that Philippe Jalapour is going to drop 60 on us. I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, so... Okay, so I guess that's the transition time is... Team Iran is who we will play Wednesday at 12:40 a.m., Justin. I don't know if you're going to be up for that one.
What time did you say there?
12:40 a.m.
Yeah, we'll find a time. Maybe
we'll find a time. I just don't know. I won't be out. I'll be in bed. I'll be sleeping. I'll probably watch it. The next day at some point.
I probably will. I'm probably not watching it live.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch the first half because I normally am up late playing video games, so I might. I might watch the first half because normally I go to bed around 12:15 or so. So it's probably not too ridiculous for me to watch the first half, but there's zero chance I'm making it to the second half. And hopefully by the end of the first half, the game's over and I don't have to watch the second half and be worried, you know. But, I mean, looking at this roster, and we talked about it before, I don't know any of these people. I don't know any of them. None of them have played in the NBA.
I don't recognize any of them.
Now, I want to be clear here. I don't necessarily think that means that they're going to – They can't be taken lightly, based on what we've seen from our wonderful Team USA. So, you know, looking at the roster, they've got a good combination of a lot of older, like in lower 30s. There's not a lot of young guys on the team. There's one guy, the first guy. There's Mohamed Vahidi. He's 20, but pretty much everyone else is mid 20s and older. So, you know. They look like they have some experience. I don't necessarily know what that means because, once again, these guys, it doesn't look like they've played for any teams that I really recognize. I mean, I'm looking at their clubs that they're playing for. I don't recognize any of these clubs. So, theoretically, Team USA should walk all over them. Now,
theoretically
is the key word.
Very important note there.
Your thoughts on Team Iran and what Team USA should theoretically do, or have we basically covered it?
I don't know what this team should theoretically do anymore. Should we still say that they should be beating every team comfortably? Because I don't think they should. Like, other teams are good now. Like, France is a good basketball team. They have a lot of good players. Iran, I don't think, is on that level, but they made it to the Olympics. Like, they're clearly not terrible. And if Team USA walks into this game with the mindset of, you know, well, you know, France was a tough team. This is one that, you know, maybe we can just kind of relax and, you know, pick up an easy win and then, you know, kind of find our rhythm from there. I think that would be the wrong attitude and the wrong mindset to walk into. I think that they need to kind of play with a little bit of a sense of urgency. Obviously, you know, guys like Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, who just didn't look didn't look like they had it after just playing the finals. You know, hopefully with a little bit of extra rest, those guys can be more ready than they were today, this morning in that game. But overall, like, it's not a bunch of, like, complicated things to fix. Again, I think getting to the rim and attacking there more will be extremely helpful. Looking down, again, their roster, they have a couple centers. They have a couple 7-foot guys, but again, I think it should, you know, you should hopefully be able to get them away from the rim, or just, even if you can't, just attack them in a way that you just didn't against Rudy.
Yep.
So I think that's going to be important. And overall, just keep Kevin out of foul trouble. Like, it's all not that complicated things. But again, I don't know what I can trust this team to do right now.
Yeah, so just so everyone knows, the Czech Republic beat Iran by 6 yesterday. They were actually, Iran was down 23, and they made a comeback, but still they fell short of their comeback, too little, too late. But so we'll have to see what happens. But you know, I guess that's a good thing to know. Like if Team USA struggles against Iran, that doesn't necessarily, you know, and they still win, but they scrape by, then that doesn't mean that the Czech team will be a pushover, because the Czech team won by 6. So it's kind of good. This will be kind of good for them, because theoretically this is the third best team that they're going to be playing against. And hopefully they come out strong and they just take care of business. And then hopefully on Wednesday night when we're recording this, we can be a little more positive about them than we are currently.
Before we get out of here, I have one question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think Team USA still wins gold right now?
Right now?
I still do. I still think they do.
I think, okay, so if you would have said, like, before watching the game today, I would have given them, like, an 85% chance to win gold. Just based on my eye test of those first two games that I watched them get spanked. I know those are exhibitions. I'm dropping it to 70 already, and I know that's overreaction probably. I'm going to drop it to 70. Do I think they have the capabilities? Yes, they should have the capabilities. They have all NBA players on their roster. But do I trust them? No, I don't trust them. This goes back to what Mike and I have been talking about on every NBA episode since the playoffs started. I don't trust any of those NBA teams. We didn't trust any of those teams. Mike picked Milwaukee at the beginning of the season. He didn't trust them all the way through, okay? Because they all have their faults. The Team USA has its fault. I don't trust them. Do I think they can win gold? Yes. Do I think they should win gold? Yes. Will they win gold? I give it about a 70% chance.
I'm going to go. So I thought, if I had to put a percentage on what I thought before today's game, I probably would have said like a 90. Like, I figured coming into today, okay, this team is going to start giving a crap. They won their last exhibition. Let's just get going. Now I'm going to stay slightly more optimistic, and I'm going to say 75, but not a ton.
Yep.
For the same reason, I just don't know if I can trust this team to... If they're not going to wake up now, I don't know when they are. And I still think that they can. I think they probably will, because... I mean, they're that good, but I'm not going to say comfortably that they are.
Yep, I agree. But we'll just have to see, and we'll have to see if they wake up. If you know, someone said that they need to send Carmelo to play, Captain Carmelo to the rescue. Obviously, I don't think they can do that, but you know, we'll just have to see if they wake up and if they play well on Wednesday, and then. On Wednesday, we will hopefully be recording a more positive episode Wednesday night.
Kevin Durant needs to be Easy Money Sniper instead of Easy Money Diaper.
Oh, ooh, that's a good one. I saw another one, too. There was a TikTok going around. I'll send it to you after. It said, Kevin Durant has decided to quit Team USA. He's always been a snake, and he wants to go play. And unrelated news, France has announced they've got a new player, Kevin Durant. and some guy drew a mustache and put a beanie on his head. It was pretty good.
I saw the My Next Chapter picture today with France on his shirt.
Oh, I'll send the one. I'll send it to you. It's a pretty good TikTok. I thought it was pretty hilarious. So, I'll make sure I send it to you. Anyways. We're going to get out of here. Thanks for joining us. Justin, if people want to reach out and talk to you, how can they find you?
I'm on Twitter at JustinMatch26. Also, if you wanted to reach out to my Kev's podcast Twitter, that at Kev Central Pod. Listen to the podcast if you want.
Speaking of which, we didn't talk about Cavs legend JaVale McGee at all.
Oh, we didn't talk about Cav. We didn't talk about JaVale at all, did we?
Do you have any takes from JaVale?
2 minutes.
I know.
Didn't do anything. You know, made a couple free throws.
He got an offensive rebound.
He got an offensive rebound, and he made a couple free throws. So
good job.
And his mom is still alive.
Yep.
Did you see that? I'm sorry. Before we go, did you see that question the reporter asked?
No. I did not. I did not see the question.
Basically, because his mom is also an Olympic gold medalist, the reporter asked if his mom was still alive.
What?
I'll send you that video.
I want to see what his facial expression was, because JaVale gives some good facial expressions. I'm sure it was good.
Yes. Yes. So. It was a bizarre question.
Yeah. Well, listen. You get all these journalists out there, and listen. You've got to also remember these. Were they doing these in person, or were they doing it over Zoom?
I don't remember. I think it was over Zoom, because that's how pretty much everything is there, I think. But it could have been in person.
Yeah, I don't. Well, listen, that's a bizarre question. I don't know how you're asking someone if their mom was still alive. That's an easily Googleable thing, I'm sure. You can say, is JaVale McGee's mom still alive? Anyways, on that note, we will catch you. I will be back on Tuesday night with a NBA pod with my friend Dan Menigan. He works for 92.3 The Fan. He is the producer on Baskin and Phelps. He's going to be hopping on with me to talk about where the Bucks and Suns go from here. His family is from Wisconsin, so he's got a little bit more stake in the game for talking Milwaukee Bucks. And we're going to talk about those things. We're going to do a little draft preview, nothing too in depth, because I'm not the person to be talking about. I can tell you the top five players in the draft. If I did my research, I probably can get up to 10. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll probably delve into a little bit of Team USA stuff, but not get too far because we've already covered it. And then on Wednesday night, I'll be back again with Justin. Provided that they win and we don't decide to drop it, the whole thing. Yeah, so we'll be
lose by 40 to Iran, and we'll record a quick 5-minute podcast saying we're not doing this anymore.
We're not doing this anymore. Anyways, hopefully we'll be back Wednesday with some positive note, and then as well as we still going to be putting out our interview episodes. If you have just listened to our episode and you did not catch the other episode that dropped today, Mike did an interview with interview with Coach Dwayne Killings from University of Albany in our mentality series that came out prior to this one. So you can go back and listen to that. And then there will be some more podcasts coming later this week and then next week. All right. Thanks for everyone for listening, and have a good night.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.